give us some insight.
Yeah, to actualize it, it'd actually be similar to what Dave said. Right. So going to both would be fine, but if you didn't go to one, if this would count as one, then that would just make up for that. You would not have a mark against
that's
you.
Fine.
Yeah. It's outside the box.
And procedurally, I think that separate thing, that we have to take that to co-chairs.
That would have to go to Scary.
That would go the whole way, but I think that's...
So let's separate the two.
Well, no, but I think that in terms of the whole idea that what we're talking about is we're talking about a quarterly meeting, seasonal meeting, if you will, that is both topic-driven with an eye towards impact on the Planning Council meeting that would be following that one, right, which would either be the summit or blah, blah, blah. There will also be attached to that, there will be a social component that will follow the close of the business itself, but which would be for those living with the virus exclusively. What we really want to make a strong recommendation is that we talk about being able to bank that credit. I mean, literally, it's about banking that credit, that you being here, going above and beyond, you can bank that credit if that credit is needed. And that would be, that last piece is we have to run through the process. But for the sake of our motion, if that's how we want to think about what makes this group valuable and structured as the platform, that's our platform. We're talking about a group that's meeting quarterly, that's topic-driven, that's got time to develop its agenda, that brings in the experts, that talks to the folks who are already integrated and say, this is why you need to be there, because it's homelessness, it's housing, it's substance use, it's whatever, whatever, whatever. And it's all group-driven, not staff-driven. Although staff support, but in terms of agenda development, invitation, hectoring, badgering, dragging, lassoing, however it is, that's member-driven, not staff-driven. And that, we try it out.
And with that, maybe I missed that, with that accreditation.
Yeah, okay. That's the platform that that's the platform.
That's a full platform.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is a very new motion. I wonder if you could just... if someone can move it and second it, because it's quite different than sort of replacing the...
So the motion, as I heard it, is that the motion here is that we convene quarterly, seasonally, just because some people are autumns, and we're talking about a quarterly meeting of the PWHIV group, and those meetings are going to be 90 minutes long, they are work-oriented, they're topic-oriented, and they're topic that's complementary to and directed to the Planning Council's agenda. That the work group itself takes on the responsibility of agenda development and getting people there. Like, that's our job. And it's also our job to find out and to do the invitation to get these people that are supposed to be there to bring the expertise in. That's our job. It's not staff's job. That there will be staff support for the meeting itself. And then after the 90-minute meeting, then we have a half-hour social that's really about this group just letting its hair down. And that is part of that. What makes this relevant for us is that we talk about banking the credit. That for those people that show up, that it really is showing that they can bank that credit. So if you miss a meeting, you can't be there, that you're not going to be, it's not going to affect negatively your attendance record for the year for the Planning Council.
Member will receive a home committee credit for the meeting.
So that's the motion.
We'll go over that.
Did I got that correctly? So that's the motion, but it has not been.
Is that coming from you then?
You could use it for a home committee meeting or full council meeting as well.
Committee. I think committee.
And just a committee.
Committee, yeah, because council's.
Do we,
right,
do we distinguish between the two?
We don't distinguish between the two.
As far as it would just be banked for however the credit is.
No problem tracking all that.
Actually, it would not be a problem.
So, point of clarification, Mark, do we need to also have the recommendation, or is it implicit that this group be represented at steering?
It's implicit. It's this group's already a standing item on the agenda under committee and work group check-ins, always there.
Right.
So, it could still be under steering?
Yes.
All committees. All right. Yeah. So you're moving that. Who has seconded this motion?
Me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'd like to. I would like to move that to a vote. Then.
We need a public comment.
Okay, great. Any public comment to the motion? Yes.
I'm afraid this is emblematic. I mean, first of all, I want to apologize for coming off as a threat to anybody. I moved my chair up there to get a word at the table, not a place at the table. And this is what makes me the most angry, is that you have found a way, and you'll codify it, to freeze us more out of participating in the decisions and the processes that mostly affect us as long-term survivors of AIDS, a very different illness than HIV. And you're going to go through with this, you're going to meet maybe 6 times out of the year rather than 12. That means what we already have is a definition that our input as the public is reduced, and long-term survivors, is reduced to 3 minutes, tops. And that's only if you guys show up. That's where my anger comes from. That's where my bewilderment comes from, is how am I going to participate and have a voice if you don't even show up, and if you just say we're only going to meet 4 times a year because it suits us. The effect it has on us out here is that you are effectively demoralizing us even further. It's like watching a cigarette get rubbed out in the dirt, because you aren't interested in anything more than making your little thing work for you. But when you do it in a way that our voices get less and we get shushed away from the table, like you did, effectively, it's even further angering and demoralizing and out of place. You got to keep your eye on not just yourselves, but the people you're ostensibly here to serve, who are not being served by what you do in the first place, which is don't show up or reduce your participation. I don't know anything about the business of the council. I take my hat off to you that you can operate at all, that you can get out of bed in the first place to do what you do. But I'm only in here because we're not being represented. But all your ideas are great, except they don't work for us. They work for you, not for us. Please reconsider.
The motion is on the table.
Right, we have a motion on the table.
Yes. And just further discussion, I think it's, you know, what we bridge this nuance, this fine nuance of not responding versus responding because we don't engage in this. I think it is clear that one of the options here is that we not meet at all. And if we don't meet at all, then we don't have any mechanism for us to represent the public at large and for the public at large to come, regardless of how much we do or don't do. So it's the nuances, again, of kind of the process and the requirements that we are under with the nature of our business. And I think it's also fair to say that one of the limitations that the public has to accept is that we are committed to this and doing this, and when there are comments like, we don't know what your business is, that's why we need to be the people who have been involved in that business to be here and representing the voice of both.
I just want to let, since we have 4 unaffiliated consumers sitting here at the table, 3 of whom are long-term survivors, that your job, separate distinct from any committee that you're on, and separate distinct from any meeting that you go to, is your job is to represent your constituency that you agreed to represent, that you're targeted to represent, and that you claim to represent, and that you do represent. So it is independent of committee structure. The voice, so whether it's recovering addicts, whether it's long-term survivors, whether it's tri-infected, whether it's concomitant, whether it's whatever, that's a job that you have regardless of any system that is set up in terms of the structure of the Planning Council. So this is by no means the way in which you sort of get away from the responsibility that you have as federally, as legally designated in terms of the law. So we have a motion on the table. The motion has been moved and seconded. We've had public comment. I'm in favor of that motion.
Wait,
no, Charles, yeah.
Sorry. This is only for the council members. Just letting you know that thank you for coming here, because like me, I probably can say on the last attendance of 24 years that I've been on the council, I probably outbid everybody on the council on attendance. So just letting the council member know, we don't get paid for this. We do this as a volunteer. We do this for people living with HIV and AIDS. And I refuse to say, I mean, I refuse not to say anything on this table, because I'm living it. I'm a person with AIDS. And every time I come to the council, I say, I'm a person living with AIDS. And I'm speaking for my community, not only for me, but for my community. So let's move on.
So I want to do a roll call vote. So Charles?
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
And Clelia, yes, also. So in terms of process, I believe I'll take this now to co-chairs on Monday.
And it will be it'll go to steering to be affirmed.
Okay. That being said, if our next meeting is seasonal, then we're talking about April. We need an agenda, and we need to develop an agenda now, so that we can actually get through.
You have the co-chair from one.
Oh, right. Sorry. So we need some leadership. So anybody want to nominate anybody for co-chair of the group?
So are we talking about a co-chair, or are we talking about...
It's up to the group. Of course, most committees and work groups, the vast majority have two, but it's up to the group.
You can have a chair. I don't think we can have... We can have tri-chairs if we want, but okay. Anybody wants to...
We have five chairs of the council.
Right. I already self-nominated,
yeah.
So...
We already nominated. Well, you volunteered, so...
Is there a second to Mike's nomination of Mike?
Yes. Does anyone else want to help, or...
So, I will step up for the first year. And I will not miss a meeting.
Okay. So we have, and I will second his. Did you?
I'd love to second his
nomination. Very clearly.
So we have a chair. We have co-chairs. Anybody opposed? So what do you want to talk about in April?
Is that quorum?
Oh, so I was going to ask, just around scheduling,
right.
Do you want to do it the next one in April, or do you want to do it in May and have it, I mean, because you basically have 3 months, April, May, June, and I think it's important to think about where that fits around the holidays at the end of the year, and then the summit.
Let me pause you there. Before you actually even get into that, we didn't actually address Ken's point about what is the membership of this group.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so let's retract, so let's go back.
Which means quorum.
So we had these four individuals RSVP'd. I think TJ also RSVP'd, or said
and
he was
Cesar coming? Did too. And Cesar,
and Cesar.
Cesar voted. He sent a proxy. He's like, whatever you do, I'm fine with. I can read it to you.
Oh no, you don't need to read it to me. So we could add Cesar as having as Mike having his proxy. That means that you could make a motion to have those six names be the four people who RSVP'd in some form be the membership of this group moving forward.
So a couple of procedural questions. Number one, as we look at April, July, and October, they have conflicts with the weight of some of the council's business and the staff, number one. And number two, while I like the idea of setting the quorum, I also like the idea of not being so inflexible that people who aren't here can join, and that quorum can be affected and people can join. So I guess the question I would ask is, if people show up that are council members, will they count as quorum?
They will not. However, this is an ad hoc work group. You can revisit your group's foundational processes as you see fit.
Right. Can we do something novel like saying we're based on a six members, but...
You can do something even novel as far as quorum established by a minimum of this amount.
Right.
I'm saying a minimum of so many representations, regardless of whether they are the official six or not.
You could be outside of the box with a worker.
I don't know. We should just have an open membership. We don't have to have the official.
Because I think the problem with that is just what we said. If it becomes too small, you're having something driven by, you know, if one person shows up, yeah. you don't want
to
say.
You'd have to establish something for quorum, but the quorum, to establish for quorum, because some work groups have included, like, service providers or members of the public or this or that. You actually have a lot of flexibility with work groups. So if you want to remain flexible, you can establish quorum as a minimum rather than a particular number.
Let's establish that six people as minimum.
No, we want
to go for six?
Six or four.
But wait a minute. Let's be clear. You're saying that everybody has to attend, and I'm saying, Mark, a quorum right now is what percent of membership for all committees?
Two-thirds.
So looking backwards, that would say four would meet those requirements?
Yes.
So I would say that these six that we've talked about,
okay.
but
yeah.
we
so
but
the
six,
four
six
right.
are the general, but any four,
yeah. no.
any four, whether they're members or not, would
right.
constitute quorum.
Okay.
Second that. Spell that out.
So that's a motion and a second. Okay.
Because we have to be able to make the next meeting count.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And if we revisit what quorum looks like at the next meeting, I'm fine with that. We have to have that flexibility. But we have to make the next meeting count. And I would suggest that we talk about March, June, and September. March, because we'll just be coming off the first real meeting, the council, with substance.
Yeah.
We know that the Getting to Zero thing they're having their big planning meeting in April. We know that the September one would feed right into the summit. And June puts us mid-year, which is right around the time for the COE competition. Because we know that we've got contracts coming out of the department, but we also know that we've got check-ins around how integration is going based on the 6 years. It's a half-year mark. We can talk about, like, looking at the EPI profile that we have presented at the summit, all those things. It's enough work that we can do if we think about just looking at this year being March, June, and September.
And I would speak against that simply because we all know if we're truly meeting quarterly, that would mean a quarterly meeting in December. And we know what happens with meetings in December. And I want to be committed to fulfilling what we're doing. And we have a long history of never having.
But that wouldn't, though. If it's quarterly, this is one meeting, and there's three more.
Right.
You can outline three more meetings.
So can we
just wouldn't have a winter.
Right,
winter
so I think if we're talking about a minimum of four meetings
next year, right. but
whether they're quarterly or four meetings, this group will meet officially four meetings a year.
Yeah.
So could we amend the motion that we passed that we're talking about four meetings a year, ideally quarterly? We're talking about four
yes,
meetings.
Yes, that could be amended.
Right. Can we amend that?
It's more just a language thing.
Yeah. Yeah, also just letting you know that it was brought out in steering by me that do we think about December having a meeting?
Yes. Yes, Mark.
So I have a question.
Well, can we go back to the idea about amending the motion? We're talking about a minimum of four meetings a year. They may not necessarily fall perfectly quarterly. We're talking about four meetings a year, so that would. So
if Ron and Charles agrees as the mover and second,
I agree.
Then yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that way we can do January, March, June, and September as the four meetings for this year. And we can note them and have them announced.
There's space three.
The problem will be that between this one and March, they'll be only have 2 months, but we will make do. Okay. So now, Mark.
A couple things. One is a question to Kevin about the COE and the potential of engagement with the council. I know that HHS is understandably hesitant about sharing the RFP itself, of course, because competition needs to be, confidentiality needs to be maintained because there are service providers potentially in the audience. Would, however, HHS be able to engage with this work group as in some ways like as a focus group or as a way to actually discuss challenges that they might have experienced and just as a feedback mechanism as well?
Yeah,
Would that be okay?
I think that Dean actually was envisioning something along those lines.
We're not.
It's not a bidders conference for sure, but it
no,
is a way of soliciting
the opposite of that, yeah.
ideas, thoughts, perspectives.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I'll have you both on that cop. Could we actually move that really be one of the foci of the March meeting is using this group as however it benefits HHS.
Would that be March or June, Kevin? Which would be the better?
Can we leave it open?
Yeah, let's
either
do
March
that.
Or June, right? So we'll throw in some others at the same time.
So what else could happen in March, though?
I would like for us to look at the state and see if we could get representation from
ADAP.
Okay.
So we
see if they could present to us and so we could understand.
state regarding EVAB. Yeah.
And I'd like to put on the getting, having the conversation about the getting to zero, how we want to impact getting to zero in the next 5 years, their strategic plan as another possibility for. So I've got state, I've got ADAP, getting to zero,
so
COE.
And would getting to zero then address some of those issues we saw about who are, who have state contracts for navigation and they are on board for PrEP? I mean, how
no.
do we get feed that into our...
I don't know if that would necessarily...
No, that's a conversation with the state office of
age.
The thing around getting to zero is, and I don't want to think like we're giving, we're being asked by getting to zero for our opinion of their plan. Getting to Zero's five-year plan is over, and the first 5 years we're focused on organizing, and one of the metrics that they came up with was the metric of, for the moment you test positive, they wanted to reduce it to 0 days from when you test positive, when you're actually getting care, when you're actually getting antiretrovirals, and then you reduce the length of time between finding out you're positive and being virally suppressed. So it went from who knows how many days to 0 days on the first side, and it's now down to 66 days from testing positive, and then getting to virally suppressed, which is down from 166 days. So that was part of the strategic plan for the first 5 years of getting to zero. Now the metrics that they want to talk about are around exactly what we talked about on Monday, were about disparity, health inequality. And I think if we can get them ahead of the game and give them ideas of what we want them to look at, whether it's special needs populations, blacks, whether it's around, you know, U equals U, whether it's anything that, or, you know, homelessness, whatever it is, but I think we need to have a discussion around how we want to impact their discussion around disparity and disparity measurement metrics for the next 5 years.
So then the clarification back to what I said is, where does something like some of the PrEP issues of who are contracted?
Within the same office, but just as we have the two people from the state weighing
so
on things, that would actually
both?
Be two different things.
Would that be separated by two meetings, do you think, or are we asking?
I'm not sure.
Time?
I'd really have to have a talk with Liz about that, and I think Liz would actually have to have a talk to other people because, you know, certainly she wasn't able to really provide a response around the PrEP locations.
But it, more than just the PrEP location, also the issue about PrEP coverage.
Yes.
We talked about Medicare, you know.
And maybe we could do that whole thing just like a PrEP focus, or PrEP and equals you focus, because we can actually get some of the folks around the PrEP committee talking about PrEP uptake.
So, I think before that, what should happen is that you or me, or actually probably you and Dave, since this is, he is the prime staff person to cover this meeting, would have that conversation, and then you just talk to Liz to see when and how that would happen, whether it be one or two meetings. And can I also throw out there that the early September meeting is potentially just a great time to meet, because we're hoping to get the needs assessment in August rather than in September, and we'll probably have the summit in September, so you'll be able to process both the needs assessment results and anything coming up to that you could then push forward to the summit. So in some ways it's a pre-summit, and it's not just a needs assessment, it's also EPI as well. So.
And
that's just a good one.
As a point behind that, I think that falls into some of the issues we've had in the past about presentations right before the summit.
Absolutely.
That have a weight that is illogical on that topic.
Yeah, and it's such a heavy weight to have in the same meeting that you're actually doing the vote, and to have at least one committee process that information is ideal.
To your point around like it'll be speaking the same language.
Yeah, simplifying the material.
That might be a great place to actually. In the same way the Council of Affairs looks at presentations for sort of continuity, it'd be great to have like premiering everything here to talk about whether or not it actually helps with the
illustrations, whatever.
So we have flexibility for what's going to happen in March, but we know it's going to be one or some combination of these three different things, and then some PrEP, getting to zero, and COE.
Yeah.
Right? And by PrEP, that includes the State Office of Aid's ADAP, PrEP ADAP piece, but it's just sort of PrEP as an umbrella piece, and that could include Navigator program, PrEP disparity, the whole package. And I think that we should also tie in the U equals U stuff, since we really want to get the department and not ever think about them separately anymore.
Just as a point of order, unfortunately, we're already on 9, but you have to do quick votes for the co-chair and for the membership, so if you have to do a quick hand vote for that.
Right. I thought we just rammed that through with that vote.
And also the minutes from last year.
So why don't we take these motions in order. So let's start with the minutes from last year.
Oh, you should do the quorum one first, because that will establish
so
that.
Okay,
for this.
So minutes for the quorum is, we're talking about minimum of 4. All right. All in favor? favor?
Yes.
Any opposed? Any extension? Any public comment for the idea on quorum?
Great.
Quorum done. So the meeting schedule done. Quorum done. Co-chairs, we've got the group by sort of by acclamation has the co-chairs as Charles Cerrone and Mike Schreiber. All in favor?
Oh, you voted.
Nope, you're voting now.
We're all opposed.
Okay.
Are you opposed? Opposed?
No, I'm sorry. It's together
yes,
one.
For
right?
Both.
Yeah.
Motion is for both.
Okay.
And then minutes, or did you just do that?
No, now we can do minutes. So minutes from March. Any opposition to approve the minutes by consensus?
That's done.
Okay. Yes.
Now that we have the, we can see. I think we should discuss maybe.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We had a double for the co-chairs. Thank you, Melina. Just as an annoying process thing, but we should stick by it. There is actually two motions for co-chairs, so you actually have to take two votes. For
okay,
co-chairs.
So all in favor of Charles Cerrone to be one of the co-chairs of the count of this group, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Can I vote twice against?
You can
against,
vote. I'm voting against me, so all in favor of Mike Schreiber being the other co-chair, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Oh, I can't do it. Damn it. Okay, great. So has that covered all the business?
Yeah.
And it sounds like we now need to go with the
two
the
things I would like to point out. A is to keep an active parking lot so that we can start putting down things and not forgetting, because I think continuity, I'm not addressing y'all, but my age anyway, I don't remember. And I now have forgotten the second point.
I think you did it on purpose.
And I think the second point was that I think we had a verbal discussion about our commitment to recruiting and getting people. So I think we have to ask the staff to give us the list and phone numbers or contact, and that we need to divide that among us, so that we outreach to everyone.
Why don't we do that for the chairs? Have the chairs work with you all and get the list to you.
Okay. Decentralizing
who the staff gives in terms of confidentiality.
So that we reach out to those folks as soon as we have a meeting date and some agenda.
And so what?
Do we need to put that on record, or is that a...
No, that's just direction to us.
Yeah. In terms of meeting date, Wednesday's not a good day?
I don't know. I know a couple of council members have trouble Wednesdays and Fridays.
So
that's something to consider. We could do SurveyMonkey.
Something I wanted to mention before, when Charles was talking about how it feels like hours ago already. Charles was talking about how he, in the past, the PLWH work group was sort of a driving force in sort of actually getting a lot of the motions sort of pushed through and putting their sort of stamp on things. And one of the things that we saw that's changed since that time is when this meeting takes place in the month. So maybe before we start talking about day, we should start talking about dates. Because it used to be the first committee that met in the month, and now it's the last. It's actually after steering, so it literally has it's just before steering.
So can we do a separate monkey about two things? The days and pushing it the first meeting of the month.
Well, I think if you say you're doing a survey monkey, but you're already saying the first meeting.
Put that
as a
question.
Yeah, I think our issue is more a survey monkey of times before steering, because I think that's the important. If we're going to have this logically, it has to happen before steering. So it goes through steering and then goes to the board.
Yeah, and that's actually, that becomes a difference than whether, take it for granted that it's before steering. The timing of that then either means you could potentially be generating motions if you are the first committee, or it could mean that you are the penultimate review of motions prior to steering. So both of those, are an empowered
position. Do you have a
position.
Opinion on that?
No, I think they're both great places. I think before steering as well, you can still introduce a motion.
So we either meet the first week of the month or the last week of the month.
Or the third week of the month.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the third nature of the flexibility we're talking about, we could do one of both.
Actually, at least at wide level, because you'd also, in some ways, meet the week after the week of the full council meeting, which is on a Monday, so there's the rest of that week. So all days after the full council meeting up to the first committee, and then all days of the week prior to steering. And we can send them to do a lot about that.
I like that idea of a meeting the Wednesday, that week. Whatever the planning council meeting is on that Monday, that's the week that we meet.
That or the week that he's saying.
Like we did this
week. Yeah, it's good to have options.
Like,
but
like we did
think you'd be able to process everything that came
out. The
yeah.
options.
But let's take in consideration there are some council members that do not access their emails so readily.
Well, so that's going to be
yeah.
our role. We become leaders.
Also, I think we need to add times here. So I'd like to propose our Survey Monkey have both the standard 3 to 5.
And a 1 to 3 as well, perhaps?
Or have try and see if people respond better to an evening.
So she'll do a 1 to 3, a 3 to 5, and a 5 to 7.
Yes.
Okay.
And a Sunday. Is 5 to 7 give? But I guess I would say, yes. Can we do more like
7 to 9?
No, not 7. 7 to 9, but like 5:30, because we do know there
yeah.
are members
like
who work
7:30,
and letting them get a chance to get
oh,
here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
5:30
to 7. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, that was one thing that at least one person, PLW's member who comes from San Mateo,
mm-hmm.
was like, it's just a little too early for me, because
right.
traffic getting here.
Right.
So...
Okay, so you will have then for those folks who are planning on contacting those council members who are not too big on emails, you should actually have the ability, I think, on SurveyMonkey or is it Doodle, to add a name, and so you can get their responses and plug their responses in as well.
Yeah, we can. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And does it also give us the ability to see who has answered?
I think so. I'm pretty sure. I think
you have to enter your name when you do this.
You have to do that, and unless we mark it private on our end, which we won't, then you should be able to see everyone who's done it.
And is there any reason to have it be private?
No.
Because I think that
it's
better
just
than
a,
to send
yeah,
that out
this is just
first.
A timing thing, so it doesn't matter.
Send that out first, and then we can be the enforcers, if you will.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just want to thank everybody, public comments and public included, and staff for. I knew what I'd hoped, and I'm really pleased with the idea that we're talking about 4 times a year with the social component that's topic focused, that's policy focused, that really is about bringing the voice of people living with HIV and AIDS into the policy discussions. To be clear, what we've done, we are responsible. We have taken on the responsibility. In some, to the best of your ability, but some people as chairs, to make this happen for this year.
I think we should also note, like all things, this is a first. It doesn't mean that we are locked in step here.
No.
As we approach things like how can we incorporate public comment and public impact, I think we need to look forward and give ourselves the ability to say everything is not cast in stone today. Especially as we bring more members on and they get involved, for us to have the flexibility.
But at least it's structured
yeah.
enough to get us to March.
Got to start.
Yeah. Structured enough to get us to March to really start it. Thank you, everybody. We're here.
It's like a LaCroix, but.